is a pole at the end of your block, or maybe at the intersection near your block, or two streets over, or whatever, you get the point. And you've driven past this thing like 1,000 times without actually thinking about it. The little camera box on the side has been bolted up there since long before you ever started actually noticing. And as far as anyone bothered to tell you, it reads license plates, and that was supposed to be the total sum of what its actual job was. But 12 months ago, the Italian company that actually built that pole and sold it to your city, a defense contractor that goes by the name of Leonardo, got a U.S. patent on a software upgrade that runs on that existing hardware. So the plate reader doesn't actually have to be replaced, but the new product just runs on it by default. Now, I'm talking about a Leonardo pole specifically. Leonardo sells these things to American police under a license plate reader brand that they call LSAG. But they've been doing that for like 20 years, okay? So Flock cameras are a completely different vendor with their own product. That's not what we're talking about here. Vigilant is a third one, like aside from Flock and Leonardo. And there are dozens of other license plate reader makers that are operating across the country on top of that. So many that I could not make a video about all of them if I wanted to. So the total American plate reader market is absolutely massive. Companies are all clamoring at the same time, drooling for government money. And that's the same money that was taken forcibly from you under threat of imprisonment by default, and your employer just, you know, caves because that's what it is, in taxes to pay for your own surveillance. Now, that 4,000 camera mesh network that basically exists with Leonardo is just their footprint under the LSAG brand. Every one of those poles can take the new product without any new hardware going up, so it's not that complicated to make these things like a version 2. Like if any of you ever played Fallout New Vegas, when you get to the end and you upgrade all of the robots and they're infinitely more powerful now, that's kind of what we're talking about here. Sorry for the non-gamers for the crappy analogy, but that's what it is. It's like your phone, right? Your phone running a software update overnight. So, for example, one competitor alone, Flock, runs past 100,000 cameras and scans more than 20 billion plates a month. Run the actual math behind that, and that's every driver in America read or seen or photographed about 3 times a day. And that's every day just to log something like license plates. Of course, we know it's not really just license plates. It's a whole cornucopia of things. It's details of the car, color of the car, some cases how fast you're going, because they can correlate that between cameras to see how fast you're going, who's in the car. All those different things are a factor. But I'm saying, like, the argument is the whole, oh, it's you know, just to see your license plate nonsense. Now, SignalTrace is the Leonardo bolting a whole new set of eyes or abilities onto that machine that already exists. And they fingerprint everything, basically. The new product, which is SignalTrace, is like tantamount to tomorrow morning, if you were to sit at that red light again, at the corner where that pole is mounted and has been, the phone in your pocket is constantly probing every Wi-Fi network that's actually in range a few times every second. And like, that's just how the technology works. Your smartwatch is also gossiping with that phone over Bluetooth low energy, and so are the earbuds in your ears. So every couple of minutes, other things also transpire while you're in your car, like the tire pressure sensors in your wheels sending out a radio chirp to your car's computer, and the contactless card in your wallet, the transit pass, the work badge that you have. perhaps the anti-theft tags that you forgot to cut off the jacket that you have, the key finder that's hanging on your kid's backpack as you bring them to school. Like, every one of those things is broadcasting an identifier in the clear, and that pole on the corner is now listening, logging, and recording all of it, or will be soon, you know. Signal Trace mixes these signals into one single electronic fingerprint and then ties that fingerprint to your car and stores it permanently in a database. And it makes it so that at any point in time, anyone else who has access to said database can query that super unique fingerprint forever. And they no longer actually just need your license plate to do it. They just need your fingerprint to pass again to get a ding off of you, right? Like, you could wear a mask and be completely covered up from head to toe, and it wouldn't matter if you had your phone or at least some of those identifying things that you would have. And the word fingerprint here is an actual literal use of the word, because that signature is really unique to you in the same way that the print on the tip of your finger is also unique to you. It's persistent across things like time and tied specifically to just one individual, and that's you, right? So researchers actually settled this question more than a decade ago. This was with a 2013 paper out of MIT and a university that was in Belgium that I don't know how to pronounce the name of, so I'm not going to try. They basically pulled 15 months of phone location data from 1.5 million people and then used that to run some math. And basically the results were that just 4 time and place points per person were enough to uniquely identify like 95% of the people that were actually in that data set. So that's really all it takes, 4 data points per human being. Now, keep in mind, Signal Trace grabs dozens of these per device, per car, every time you pass one of these sensors. So what that means is one stop at one light over-identifies you by like a factor of 10. And there's another poll potentially waiting on the next corner. Now, I've talked about this on this channel before, and I'm going to talk about it again, but there's a man who ran the actual agency that does this for a living, and his name's General Michael Hayden, and he was the director of the NSA and then the CIA, and he said way back in 2014 in a debate at Johns Hopkins on camera in front of an audience that we kill people based on metadata. And again, I know I really harp on that quote on this channel, but I think it's a very telling one. You know, I see people all the time telling me stuff about how it's not a big deal. The proof of that is the fact that the NSA and CIA head, you know, the guy who ran it, says that metadata alone is enough to authorize things like a Hellfire missile strike. So kind of important, kind of has some relevance. And at the end of the day, I know a ton of security analysts who would much rather have metadata over the actual context of whatever message it is that you're encrypting, which is always the other talking point that people have. Leonardo, on the other hand, wants you to believe that the fingerprint that they built out on you is completely harmless because they claim they never look at the content of the signals. Well, okay then. Right? I mean, I guess we're all good. There's nothing else to see here. We can just move on. We don't have to worry at all about it because, hey, they pinky promised that they wouldn't look at the actual info. It is insane that they are like, they really believe that people will buy this nonsense. It's just a complete gaslighting. It completely, totally, 100% depends on you blindly trusting these freaks who want to monitor you. It's like, I have 100K right here, and I'm going to trust that this crack addict that I just met on the street that I invited into my house, he won't rob me. Like, That's really what it is. You're blindly trusting a stranger. Nothing about the fingerprint is temporary. Nothing, right? Leonardo has never published any kind of public data retention policy for SignalTrace. The product sheet that they have actually describes it as archived for future queries and analysis. Like, does that sound like someone that's going to delete it soon? Like, if they're saying we're going to archive it later to go through, like, no, it's 100% corporate phraseology for we keep it forever. So the fingerprint that they actually capture off your car and all the devices that we talked about will still be queryable a decade or two decades or 50 decades from now when you're long dead. Like, to me, that's forever. Right. So, like, by that logic, you know, there's a case that exists in the state, and this cop is going to look up your data in the future and be able to see everything that you had, every device you had with you, what the signals were, how strong they were, right? All this different analytical data and that exists about you and your devices. And that's totally cool. And of course, they wouldn't use that, right? Like, they wouldn't use that ability to gather information for purposes like, I don't know, breaking into those devices or, you know, like that would, no other consequences would possibly exist for that. But it's just insane. Like the dragnet that has been built over the course of all these years is not built to forget anything. And we've watched this consistently get worse over the years. And there's no real economic break that they have for not keeping it for forever, right? Like, a fingerprint is like a few, what, kilobytes? So storing one from like your car with all your information on it and all your devices for a century really costs less than a single squad car. And when hoarding is kind of that cheap, then nobody is going to bother doing things like actually deleting it. And the patent itself is really shameless about what they actually want. It lists basically everything. Like that, if I was just going to give you this synopsis, that's kind of what it would be. But like, you know, anything that emits a signal, it grabs. It's, you know, stuff like classic Bluetooth, obviously, but Bluetooth low energy, Wi-Fi probe requests, RFID frequencies on every band that the FCC actually allows for, near field communications, MAC addresses, UUIDs, manufacturer codes. It's a gluttonous pig, to say the least, kind of like your average politician with your tax money, right? We could just put it like that. Leonardo says that the product respects your privacy because they don't decrypt the contents of the signals that they grab, and they only grab metadata, right? Which, even if that's true, we don't decrypt any. Okay, cool. Like, but for how long? You know, there's a whole saying of the capture now, decrypt later, right? They always started off with something that isn't insanely invasive. So it's like, well, we're not actually grabbing the data that's flowing through the air when, you know, for your communications. Okay, well, you're grabbing everything else. And what would it take for you to do that next step? Another software update is the answer, essentially. So it's just the same garbage excuse that's used over and over again. Like, the NSA used the exact same thing to justify bulk spying, right up until the Supreme Court said in Carpenter v. United States in 2018 that it was only an excuse. And the court held that things like historical location data from your phone carrier requires stuff like a Fourth Amendment warrant. And that's something like, you know, records actually showing everywhere your phone has been, because obviously your phone talks to cell towers. Now, Chief Justice Roberts put a cute little footnote that explicitly left untouched real-time data collection and location data from things like tower dumps and other, quote, other business records that might incidentally reveal location information out of it. So every limit on state power comes with a note from the state which is written for itself. people talk about, I see all the time, people like, oh, well, the Supreme Court's going to not allow this. Like, the job of the Supreme Court is to rubber stamp things for the state. It's state apparatus that greenlights the legality of things that the state does. And it's like, well, they don't always greenlight. Sometimes they deny. Yeah, sometimes they do. Otherwise, the deception would be incredibly obvious. I'd be very interested to know, like, what stocks Chief Roberts actually held at the time. That footnote is the exact thing, coincidentally, that Leonardo capitalizes on to actually make this all seem okay. It means that they don't need to do things like subpoena your carrier. They can just plant their spy sensors, different places in your city, on a public road that you pay for, and, let your devices broadcast at them. And then they pull your location data as well as, a cornucopia of other information from that. And that's it, right? And the cop no longer needs a judge's signature in order to be able to do that. They pull all the same location data off the pole on the street, and he needs nothing at all. And arguably, way more information. Now, the Fourth Amendment guards the back door to your life while the front door stands completely open. And all of this stuff is premeditated, right? Like, none of this is, by accident or incidental. And that's an important word, incidental, which is what they like to use. It's the equivalent of stretching a net across a whole river and hauling in every fish that swims past and then turning around and trying to say that catching those fish, each one that got caught in that net, was accidental, right? Like, the net didn't catch any of them by chance. Catching everything is the entire reason that the net was crafted in the first place and then stretched across the river. A concurrence is essentially just like a side opinion where a judge agrees with the outcome, but, like, separately writes to add in, like, their own commentary. The whole of a person's movements over the course of a month is not actually exposed to the public because the likelihood a stranger would observe all of those movements is not remote, it's nil. A private investigator runs $75, let's say $100 an hour. I don't actually know what it costs, just a figure. That's one person, right? And you have him tail another person, and he follows them around. Signal Trace tails everyone who drives past it all day, every day, forever, for the price of electricity to keep the box warm. Really only ever held because surveillance was expensive or more expensive at that time. If you drop the actual cost down to zero and every protection that actually leaned on that expense falls with it. So one stranger watching one corner is just a person. And that would make sense. 100,000 of them on every corner is a mesh network. And nobody has actually litigated the mesh yet, right? What we're seeing is cops and law enforcement are not waiting around for somebody to try to litigate that. They're capitalizing on it and grabbing as much information about you as they can, as fast as they can. Now, the man who ran the company, or the parent company, that is to say, over all of this, his name is William J. Lynn III. And he held the CEO chair at Leonardo DRS from 2012 to 2024. Now, right before he took that job, Lynn was Obama's Deputy Secretary of Defense, which is essentially the number two civilian inside the Pentagon. And he did this for 2 years. And right before that, he actually ran the Pentagon, and he was Raytheon's principal registered lobbyist to that exact same Pentagon for the 6 years right before that. Now, Obama had signed an executive order 3 years before Lynn's nomination saying that nobody could come straight from the defense industry lobbying into the Pentagon appointment. Well, how'd it happen then, right? Well, how it happened was they roll in a special ethics waiver and put him in anyway. So do you see how this works? Like, they get these ethics waivers and they can do whatever the hell they want. Well, you know, we get fed off of, and 40% of our income gets forcibly taken by the government, and then taxed again when you go to spend the, you know, pittance that you have left, when you go buy an overpriced gallon of gas. You can't make this up. It's absolute insanity. And all of, like, the tax funds, you know, your surveillance. So Senator Chuck Grassley stood up on the Senate floor and said that the Office of Government Ethics would need a, quote, a full-time department just to handle Mr. Lynn's conflict of interest regarding Raytheon's waivers. So the government, running its own ethics office, essentially, it turns out, just about as well as you would think it actually would. The waiver went through, and Lynn ended up serving his 2 years at the Pentagon, then walked back into the defense industry the very day his cooling off period expired. And what he ended up doing was taking the keys for Leonardo DRS. And that same Lynn closed the 2022 merger between Leonardo DRS and an Israeli company called Rada Electronic Industries, which basically builds the radar that goes into the Elbit Systems Iron Fist active protection systems used by the IDF on its armored vehicles. So in about a dozen years, he's worked Raytheon's lobbying contract against the Pentagon. Then he's, you know, ran the Pentagon at Obama's right hand in his behest. And then he took the American arm of the Italian state defense conglomerate. And then he signed the deal that put the Israeli targeting radar inside IDF tanks. And in this entire setup, the entire thing that I've told you about, there are no firewalls anywhere in this chain. There's no checks and balances. They just don't exist. Like, there's a decent stack of paperwork behind this, too, holding up the pretense that there actually are. But it's all an illusion. And it, you know, falls apart the minute that you actually understand it. The whole tree above this is owned, in essence, by the Italian government. And I'll explain, because it's like, with Leonardo S.P.A. is the parent. It's basically an aerospace and defense conglomerate that's headquartered in Rome, okay? The single largest shareholder of that conglomerate is the Italian state itself, which holds over 30% of stock through its Ministry of Economic and Finance. Now, 30%, I get it. It doesn't sound like, you know, control, right? Until you actually realize Vanguard, which is the biggest shareholder in most of the S&P 500, averages around a 30% block, which runs the company outright in a lot of cases. So a foreign government holds triple a normal controlling stake in a firm that's wiring your street, and almost nobody in America knows it. The U.S. subsidiary that filed the Signal Trace patent used to be called Celex ES Incorporated. And then they, you know, rebranded it to Leonardo U.S. Cyber and Security Solutions, and then basically parked it at 4221 Tudor Lane in Greensboro, North Carolina. The patent was filed by one of their engineers, a guy that goes by the name of Todd Child, who has two more electronic surveillance patents in the same family. So the foreign state defense technology, basically written in North Carolina, was sold to your city council. If you're watching this video and this is all new to you, you didn't know about it, right? So the storefront that pushes the product to your local cops is a Florida outfit that's called Vetted Security Solutions. And its sister brand, which is Odin Risk Solutions. Now, Both are owned by Vetted Holdings out of St. Petersburg. The CEO is John Rinker, and Odin basically says on its website that it's rooted in the unparalleled expertise of special operations veterans, and that's because the brand was actually founded by two ex-special forces dudes named Danny Diaz and Wade Albenhauser. The Vetted claims to be the largest license plate reader provider in the entire Southeast, which is about 700 customers. Roughly like 80% of them are law enforcement, plus you also have federal support relationships with like Customs and Border Protection. But the point is, the same sales quote that gets your local PD a signal trace install also bundles in a product called Cobwebs Technology. I know I'm throwing a lot at you. It's just like, rewatch it if you need to. But that's an Israeli surveillance firm founded in 2015 by a former Israeli intelligence officer named Yudi Levy. Now, Cobwebs comes out of Unit 8200. For those of you that never heard of Unit 8200, that's the same Israeli signals intelligence machine that gave us such wonderful gems as the NSO group and Pegasus spyware, which is the stuff that's now used to hack journalists and dissidents worldwide. The U.S. government put the NSO on the Commerce Department entity list, and Cobwebs got bought instead. The buyer was a U.S.-named outfit, of course, called Penlink, which is functionally a laundering wrapper that lets Cobwebs keep selling into the American market under an American flag. So, like, they wrap the American flag around themselves, basically. Cobwebs previously sold its tools to Viktor Orban's Hungarian intelligence service, El Salvador's National Police. And now it sits in the exact same product line that your local cops have queued up, right alongside the Italian state surveillance and the Israeli video analytics from Briefcam. So your local department gets sales calls from a couple of these ex-special forces operators in Florida, three different countries worth of intelligence-grade surveillance tools, all bundled into the same quote, and zero requirement to actually ask your city council whether or not it's a good idea, which means zero obligation to ask you, and it's being used against you, being weaponized. So the deployment footprint is already there because, again, Leonardo has been selling the underlying play readers to these same deployments for two decades. So, one thing that I noticed was the Electronic Frontier Foundation's Atlas of Surveillance Documents, and they were in the pipeline that they had by name. Pueblo and Westminster Police in Colorado have run LSAG play readers since 2010 and 2009, both funded in part by the Federal Bureau of Justice Assistance. And the Cattaluga County Sheriff's Office in Ohio runs an 80-camera LSAG network spanning 20 Cleveland area agencies, including the Cleveland Division of Police, Cleveland Heights, Lakewood, and Shaker Heights. West Virginia State Police also runs a system that's statewide, and the department in Cheyenne, Wyoming, Lincoln, Nebraska, and Glendarden, Maryland have been on the same vendor for years. The Harford County Sheriff's paid CellXES about $76,000 for 5 reader units back in 2015. Now, add to that list Boulder City, Nevada, Pelham and Greensboro in New York, Cass County, Missouri, Wayne County, North Carolina, and Poughkeepsie. Every one of those departments is essentially one software push away from running SignalTrace, and there's no actual public process that needs to happen in front of you for them to turn on that switch. You know, again, it's just like pushing an update. And I know I've harped on this, but it's important to understand. You're not actually going to know when this goes active. And the technical defense that Leonardo offers is completely broken. Like, they imply that MAC address randomization protects you. Hey, if it does, why do they even collect it in the first place? Anyways, let's put that to the side. Don't worry about that pesky detail. But essentially, it's because your phone fakes a new identifier every few minutes. That's the what they're pointing to say, oh, it doesn't matter. But again, like, it absolutely does. But researchers at places like the United States Naval Academy, specifically guys like Jamie Martin, have published a paper in Proceedings on Privacy Enhancing Technologies in 2021. Now, they documented a flaw in Apple's BLE continuity protocol where the device broadcasts its permanent MAC address inside its advertising packets and, in essence, defeats randomization completely. And the same paper showed that the predictable sequence numbers in those Bluetooth frames let an adversary track an Apple device across days and weeks, even while the random addresses are actually rotating. So even if your iPhone fights the dragnet, in essence, the dragnet's still going to win. So my videos kind of always lead with the usual, how do I actually fix this, in the comments. And while there are countermeasures, I can't give you like a single thing to deploy that fixes all of it, right? Like, you can't opt out of it, really. And obviously you could just go dark, but like, for the average like person, that's not a realistic option to have. And the reason this can't be done, and I can't say, hey, just do this and you're good, is because everything that you were sold for a decade now, at least, has been designed to do this job of snitch on you and track you and set up this surveillance state. So the only move that works is really to stop letting them get so many easy wins, stop making it so easy for them. And a lot of times that's going to require investment, whether it's intellectual or monetary, disassociating with that electronic fingerprint that you would be broadcasting. So, for example, you know, your smartwatch stays at home on the days, you know, you're going anywhere that you wouldn't actually want it logged. The phone belongs in a Faraday bag, or, you know, at the absolute minimum, if you're like, I'm not going to buy a Faraday bag, okay, cool, then put it in airplane mode with the Bluetooth and the Wi-Fi turned off, which even that's not a real guarantee, but that's a whole other video. You know, just keep in mind, like, turning the screen off doesn't actually shut the radios up. Retail anti-theft tags, like, need to come out of the clothes the day you actually bring them home, because most of them still have live UHF transponders that can be read from, like, across a parking lot, you know, generally speaking. Also, things like that little Bluetooth key tracker on your keychain, you know, the one that you got because it was convenient, like, when you lost your keys, you could easily find it. I would throw that in the trash. It ends up doing more work for the surveillance state than it will ever do for you. That's just what it is. You know, another thing is obvious is pay cash when you can. Always pay cash if you can. And that's because every kind of contactless tap that you do is just another ping into that same database. This is where we get into the conversation of Monero, which is the obvious default here. I would advise that people use it with Cake Wallet. And that's just really because it's the easiest to install and use for like your average normie. And again, like, if any of this stuff pisses you off to a point where you actually want to go do something about it, my first thing I would advise you to do is to go pull the meeting minutes from the night that your city council actually signed off on the original ALPR contract back in 2009 or 2014 or whatever, and check out the signatures that are there. Like, that one signature is what ended up opening up the door for the upgrade to Leonardo's systems that's about to be pushed. So there's a real chance that whoever did that had no clue what they were doing, that they had no actual technical understanding to the floodgates that they were opening and authorizing. Kind of like if you actually had the ability to question one of these geriatric members of Congress, who also do their part to completely undermine and sell out the people that they're supposed to represent. Now, Leonardo demoed their product in front of a room full of American police chiefs at their annual conference in October of 2023. You know, the people that swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, demoed that to them, and they're like, this is awesome. Oh, you can't make this stuff up. The U.S. Patent Office signed off 5 months after that in March of 2024. Now, the average inventor waits about 2 years for that same stamp. They waited 5 months. Amazing how that works, right? Like, the state is sluggish when you need something from it, but remarkably quick when it wants something from you, like to put you in chains. You know, nobody whose job is to watch for this kind of thing has named this product publicly that I've seen. The ACLU, and by the time you watch this, that might not be true, okay? So just disclaimer right there. But, you know, the ACLU has essentially stayed silent on it from what I've seen. The EFF is kind of right there with them. They're kind of more worried about virtue signaling, about diversity and, you know, nonsense like that. We're leaving Twitter and you know, if you don't get it, you can go look it up. It's retarded. But I haven't seen a single major American newspaper run a story on any of this either. All of this should be really telling. Like, I'm one guy, you know, it's nuts. This is why, by the way, I have Sam Bent dot video, because, you know, I have no doubt that, like, this YouTube channel, if you watch this on YouTube, won't always exist. You know, like, we talk about way too much stuff here. You know, the only people who are actually seeing the whole picture that I've seen as of now are the people who are actually selling this crap to the police, the Italian company that it bought from, the Italian state that owns the parent, you know, and now you. So you guys are in an elite club. Now you've stuck around to this point in the video. So welcome. And if you already noticed one of these polls in your town and you want to actually know whether your local department has signed on to this upgrade, then, or intends to, you know, then I would suggest to file a public records request, because a lot of states, it mandates that they actually respond to it. And if they don't, you can take them to court. Ask specifically for any contract, invoice, quote, email involving things like Signal Trace, EOC Plus, Vetted Security Solutions, or Odin Risk Solutions. Then come back and tell us about it, either in the comments here, and again, even if that takes a week or three, but I would suggest more so to feel free to tag me on Twitter if you actually drop it there. Now, the departments that are most likely to have this are the ones that are already running those LSAG play readers. And, you know, at 4,000 in counting from this one Italian company alone, like, that's a lot of departments. And that's just the ones that we know about. So it's getting crazy out there, guys, but stay safe, stay aware. There are adversaries out there and they're trying to track everything. And that's not just because they're trying to keep you safe. The real question is, what's the end goal? Why do they want to do all this? Why do they need total, complete control? It's usually not for good reasons. Anyways, thank you for watching to the end, and I'll see you in the next video.